Don't you love Jesus? Yes. Amen. What a good God He is. How big He is. I'm so thankful that He is always taking you and I to higher places in Him. Amen? Amen. This is just the beginning. You know, ultimately we're going to be made just like Him. But as we live in this life, He wants us to become more and more like Him, just to reflect His goodness, His grace. Aren't you glad it's all but grace? Yes. No more striving. Just we cease to strive and we just rest in His grace. If you would, open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. And just before church, as I was praying and the Lord just laid a different direction on my heart. And so I feel like this is like he's cautioning us. He's giving us a little caution. There's a little orange light on the horizon, and you and I need to just take heed. Here's what I heard in the Spirit. There's some things that we might think are friendly, but the Spirit of God wants us to see them as foes. There's some things that we might think was friendly, and so this is just some verses of Scripture that He laid on my heart for us just to be cautious about. And how many knows that the devil loves to come in disguised? Yeah. And so we need to be very cautious. I just feel just a little anxiousness, not anxious in the negative sense, but anxious excitement that God would love us so much that He would help us be prepared ahead of time. He always does. Amen? All right. Luke chapter 22, verse number 1. We'll look at the example of Jesus. Luke chapter 22, verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priest and the scribes sought how they might kill Jesus, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way, and he communed with the chief priests and captives how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and coveted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. Brother Larry, would you pray? Yes. 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 Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Larry. Thank you for honoring the word. Hallelujah. I think this is personal to us individually, but it's also corporate to the church, because we see so much evil in the world. You know, they talk about tolerance. They talk about unity and acceptance. As long as you come around to their way of thinking, as long as you say they're right in everything that they have to say. And so we need to be very cautious. There is this scripture, as we see it literally come to pass in the life of Jesus, fulfilling scripture and brought him to the place of being that Passover lamb killed, slain for us from the foundation of the world, even as scripture says. They're coming against the church tonight. And what they're trying to do, they're trying to break the routine of people going to church. They're trying to break the routine of you and I coming together and worshiping the Lord. And there is an evil covenant that is going on to break the Bible Belt of the United States of America. Because if they break the Bible Belt of the United States of America, the nation will fall. And Scripture will fulfill, and the new world order, the one world government, will come into fact. Now, we know that Scripture tells us that's going to happen, but we want it to happen in God's timing, not in the devil's timing. Amen? So, just because we know something doesn't mean that we have to be in the place where we usher it in, right? Everything is in a season. And so tonight I want you to be in a place and a position to recognize that here, as God's word come to pass in this season, it was perfect. And God wants everything in your life to come to pass in perfection. But at the same time, we've got to recognize and realize that God has a positive part of His plan, which that's us. But He also, sadly, there is a negative part of His plan, that is the enemy. And so the enemy would want to move you and I out of timing. Remember, they tried to kill Jesus before the cross. Many times they tried to push Him off the cliff. They wanted to do all these things to Him because they wanted to stop what God had said. Well, God has said some things about you tonight. Come on, you are a victorious group of people. You are the light and the salt of this world. And yes, everybody wants to go to heaven. We do. But we need to do some things. It's not time for us to go to heaven. We need to be about our Master's business. And so we need to recognize and realize that as Judas, as he assimilated within the other 11 and making this 12, he looked just like they looked. He talked just like they talked. He walked that very same walk. Only when it got down to the fine-tuning things of his heart was his attitude revealed. When we got down to the bag, we got down to the money, we got down to some certain situations of life, was the truth there. Otherwise, he looked just like them. And so tonight, in your life and my life, we need to be very cautious, and we need to recognize and realize that the devil's not going to bring somebody to you that is just blatantly, openly against who you stand for, against what you stand for, against your goal in life. He's going to bring somebody that would be very subtle that would trip you and I up. Amen? And so we want to take this and we want to be cautious about it. Now, in this verse of Scripture where it said in verse number 6, where he promised and sought opportunity to betray Jesus, I want you to see that the devil, he is looking. He's trying to orchestrate some things in your life and my life. He's looking for an opportunity. The only time I mess up is when I give place. When I get my eyes off the answer, off the solution, Jesus Christ. So he's looking to get my attention. He's looking to get me to put confidence, to put trust in something that I shouldn't. And you remember Jesus made this statement in Psalms 41:9. He talked about, he said, that my own familiar friend. Of course, David wrote the psalm, and it happened to David, but Messianic psalm talking about the future of Jesus. And so we got to see that it's those things that you and I become familiar with that we got to be cautious about. What am I familiar with tonight that I would not recognize and realize that the devil could work in that to trip me up, to hinder what God would have for me, but most importantly, what he would have through me to somebody else. Amen? Brother Ryan, put James 4:4 on the screen. We've got to see that because we're a friend of God, the world hates us, but the world wants to get a hold of us. Amen. Look what the Bible says, likening a friend of the world. It says, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity?" It's an enemy of God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. So you and I, we've got to see that Jesus, for God so loved the world. He loved the world through Jesus, and he demonstrated that love. But at the same time, he loved them enough to not let them stay where they were at, to help to lift them up. And so there's going to be situations and circumstances where they're going to be that transformation in the negative, that transformation of being a positive light when it's not really there. And so you and I, we, because we're a friend of God, we can have the ability to recognize what is not a friend of God. And so we got to have that sensitivity in our spirit to say, Lord, I recognize that you said there would be a familiarity there. There would be something that would be akin to where I'm going, but it's of the world. And so I'm going to be sensitive to that. I'm going to see that. So tonight I want us to understand the things that's happening in the whole wide world, but especially here in America, that the devil is doing it to cause you and I to lose hope, to give up. But I want us to look and to see how it's a good thing. Now that's a statement that sometimes in our flesh doesn't want to hear. But I want you to imagine here, for this 3.5 years, Judas Iscariot had walked right with them and proclaimed the name of Jesus and done just like the others, and only Jesus knew. So you and I, because we're friends with God, because we are a friend of God, remember, God told Abraham things that he didn't tell anybody else. God's going to tell you things that he's not going to tell anybody else. Amen? Amen. And so there is a judgment coming on this world. We know that. God told Abraham to prepare and get Lot ready and all of those things. We understand that and thank God for it. But at the same time, there's other people that's walking, and they're walking in this place and position, and they're not prepared for what's going to happen. And so it's up to you and I to be in that place. None of these other 11, they didn't suspect, not one thing. And so there was a shaking that happened. When that shaking happened, his heart, Judas's heart, was completely revealed. Aren't you glad tonight that when the shaking happens all around you, that it's not going to shake you? You're going to see that foe. That foe is not a friend. You're going to recognize it. You're going to understand it. And it's not going to unsettle you. It's not going to trip you up, because you have this unction already in your life. You have this word that is working. Amen? Okay, so let's see how it can happen. Go with me to the book of Job. Job chapter 38. Look at Job 38 verse number 1. Now, I want you to consider, for 37 chapters, we've had the devil either working to bring death and destruction or to bring a deadly message. We've had 30-something chapters before Elihu started speaking. You got Job's four friends here that we talk about, but only one of them is really his friend, right? The first three, Zophar, Bildad, and somebody help me, whatever the other name, other friend was, they're not his friend. They're not his friend, but they're there with him. Tonight, who is with you that you need to be revealed? You need to have an unction. You need to have an understanding that they may say all the things that sound godly. They may say all the things that sound right, but God's not pleased with it. Amen? And it's there to hinder you, to stop you. So all of a sudden then God has heard all he can hear. And after Elihu brings forth the message, he prepares the way for God to talk. Aren't you glad that God's got people in our lives to prepare us to hear what thus saith the Lord? That's exciting, isn't it? Job 38:1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, now take your, if you got a literal Bible, or if you got a Bible app, take and make a note there. Mark out whirlwind and write down hurricane. From the Hebrew, the word is hurricane. Now this is what we're talking about. This is the power of God to shake out every false thing out of Job's life. Aren't you glad? I want the power of God to shake things out of my life. I want every foe to be revealed, and I want the friend of God to show me what's true, what's genuine, what's right, and what's not. Here's what he said, verse number 2. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? And Job, he said, you've been sitting there and you've been listening to all of this nonsense, and then you've even said some things because of what they have said. And everything that's been said has been said without the knowledge of God. And so you and I, we want the knowledge of God. We want everything else shook out. Verse 3, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee an answer, and answer thou me. And so he goes in and he gets Job in a place and a position to understand who God is versus who man is. Let's just read down through this. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? verse 6. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the corner stone thereof? And I love all of these, but verse 7, when the morning stars, when the angels of God sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy, God just went back before Satan fell. So Job, where was you when Satan was still leading worship? And all, not, if, see, if one's missing, if a third's missing, it's not all. So he's taking Job all the way back to when everything was perfect. And that's what he's going to do to us. He's going to take us back, because you've got to go back to go forward. God's building something brand new, but what he has declared the end is going to be, it's from the beginning. And what he once wanted is what he's going to have. Amen? And we're going to be a part of it. But we've got to get all of those things shook out of our life. There's going to be a time when there will be no more sin. There's going to be a time when there will be no more sadness. God's going to wipe away every tear, and there's going to be shouting. From the greatest to the least, from the farthest of one end of eternity to the other end of eternity. It's hard to wrap your mind around it. Amen? All right. He said, "Or who shut up the sea with the doors when it break forth as if it issued out of the womb?" Verse 9. "When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and the thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break it up my decreed place, and set bars and doors." Stay with me. "And hitherto shalt come, but no further. Here shall thy proud waves be stayed." Now, we read all that just to get to verses 12 and 13. Now, notice this. This is how you can get the friends like Job had revealed as foes, and you can get them shook out of your life. "Has thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the day spring to know his place?" The very literal sun, but what, spiritually speaking, Jesus is the sun. He's the light, right? In the temple, in the eternity, the Lamb is the light. There'll be no more sun. But I want you to think about what he's saying here. When we see Jesus in his proper place, when the day star, when Jesus is called the bright and morning star. Lucifer was called the bright star, and when we get Jesus in the proper place, all of a sudden it brings a light in our life, and it shakes those things out that's not real. I want the real, don't you? I don't want the counterfeit. Now look what he says, verse 13. "That it might take hold of the ends of the earth." In other words, the light, the truth, go all the way around the world. Come on. Now look what happens. "That the wicked might be shaken out of it." That the lawless, the morally wrong, in the Hebrew it's an actively bad person, might be shaken out of it. So here God is saying, everything that's happened in your life, Job, that looked like it was complete harm, and Job went through 9 months of hell on earth. We know that. We realize that and understand that. But God said, now look, the things that you trusted in, that you believed in, they've been revealed for what they are, and yet now you see me for who I am, and those things that you once trusted in, those once things that you used to listen to, they have been revealed, and now they have no stronghold, they have no pull in your life. Isn't that glorious? All because of the day star, all because of Jesus having the proper place, all because of you and I going through situations and struggles, those things that we used to put confidence, they've been shaken out. That's glorious. So all of these 30-something chapters, what is it, the first 32 or 33 chapters of this book where those three friends are speaking, all of those words have been revealed to Job. We need some things. See, you act and you think a certain way around certain people because of what you think about them. I do too. We need to know what God thinks about them, because only God knows the truth. And we need to know if they are our friend or if they're our foe. And if they're our foe, we can't be friends with this world, right? That's what James 4:4 said. So we got to be in that place, in that position, where we don't let a familiar friend of the enemy have an avenue or way to come against us that would hurt us and hinder us, that would keep God's perfect will from being done in our lives. So let's think about this just for a second. Notice what he said. He said that the wicked might be shaken out of it. Now this word shaken, I love it. It's a Hebrew word that is like a lion that rises up and shakes its mane and roars. The lion of the tribe of Judah wants to roar in your life, in my life, and cause everything that's not real to flee. I want to hear the lion roar, don't you, in the name of Jesus? Because only the devil is not afraid of me. He's not afraid of you, but he's afraid of you and me in Jesus. That's exciting. And so we need to, but how is Jesus going to roar? I have to give him voice in the earth. You have to give him voice. Amen. But we have that ability. We have that opportunity, that great obligation, but with it comes great possibility. Isn't that exciting? All right. So let's go to our, remember what we had put on our shirts? Our first shirts here is the church, Psalms 27:1. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is, present tense, right? The Lord is my, woo! So, the day star, the one who is that roaring lion who will shake the foes out of my life, that will cause me to come attention to what's true and what's genuine and be able to recognize the counterfeit. When I say the Lord is, present tense, my light, darkness flees. Remember, there was face upon the deep. God spoke, let there be light. Darkness, it left. So, in the name of Jesus, you and I say, from every spectrum of our lives, spirit, soul, and body, the Lord is light. Present tense. In Him, there is no darkness, right? And we're not like the men of John chapter 3, down about verse 19. Jesus said that men love darkness rather than but we love light rather than darkness. So we have an assurance that this light will come into us and it will do an amazing thing. It'll bring truth. It'll bring understanding in situations. Now notice what he said. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. In whom I shall fear. Or whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Aren't you glad that you and I, we don't have to fear? We don't have to be afraid of anything. Because the Lord is our light. He's our salvation. Now let's think about that just for a second. God saved me. He saved you for a purpose. You haven't fulfilled your purpose. We're here until we fulfill our purpose. Devil, in the name of Jesus, every lie, everything of your mouth be shut. In the name of Jesus, let the lion roar. I'm going to fulfill the perfect will of God because God said I would. Amen? And so any familiar friend, any that is really a foe that would be trying to work in my life, that would steal my joy, that would steal my peace, that would try to hinder me and usher me off in a corner somewhere, no. No, in the name of Jesus, you and I, we are to be set on a hill. We're to be set on the candlestick. Amen? We are the church of the living God. We are to be out front. We are to be in the place and the position to bring God glory. And so anything that would be contrary to that is a foe, and we say no. Okay. Now, notice what it says, verse number 2. When the wicked. He didn't say if, did he? So mark it down, right? When the wicked, even my enemies and my, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Hallelujah. So every morning you and I, we get up. And we get up no matter what we feel like, no matter what it looks like. We say, oh, I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you're the day star of my heart. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. My enemies are falling to my left and to my right. There is no plague coming nigh my dwelling. I have the victory of God. I have the ability to reach the lost. I have the ability to change the world because Jesus said, I am the salt. of the world. Come on. In the name of Jesus, we speak it forth. And as we do that, we frame our world. And every familiar friend that is a foe that tries to get a host of you and I, it has no avenue. It has no ability to work in our life because we're in agreement with the Word and not the devil. Amen? Yeah. All right. Now, go over to the... over here in the 36th chapter, I want you to see something. Start in verse number 7. Psalms 36, 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. How wonderful is your grace. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Aren't you glad? That's our prayer. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them to drink of the river of thy pleasures. That's for you and I. The devil don't want you and I drinking from the water of the Lord. His pleasures. At his right hand are pleasures for evermore. But we got to drink it. Amen? And so the enemy doesn't want you and I to drink that. He wants to cut us off. And he wants to give us a false gospel. He wants to give us a word that will keep us in fear. But you and I were saying the Lord is my light. He is my salvation. I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to be afraid. Amen? That I'm not going to be a friend with what the world says it can do for me. The world can't help us. Right. Only Jesus, right? Yeah. All right, now notice. Look, get excited with me right here. Verse number 9. For with thee, for with the Lord, is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. In thy light. Now Jesus, John chapter 9, he said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light, right? All right. So as long as I'm in Jesus, I'm going to see more and more and more and more. See, so here's what we've got to be on guard for. Jesus, by the Spirit, will come to you and I, and he'll give us a little admonition, a little warning, a little urgency. And then here comes the devil in his friendly foe attitude, and he'll say, but... Now, I've got a choice. I'm in the light right now, and I've heard the light. And God wants to give me more light. But I've got to make a choice. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't sound like a friendly voice. That sounds like a foe. So in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to listen to you, thus saith the Lord. Right? And so I act on what God has spoke to me by His Spirit. And then all of a sudden, I see a greater light that brings me in greater revelation and greater urgency of the plan of God that the devil doesn't want me to see. See, right now, you've got churches that are saying, well, we need to downsize in this area. We need to stop this. We need to do this in a different way. I recognize and realize that in hard times, you've got to make decisions. But we make decisions out of the Spirit, not out of the situation. And so we got to be so cautious that things that look good, look friendly, they're not. They're a foe. And so I've got to come back and I've got to say, Lord, I'm going to stay in this light. Because you said if I would walk in the light as you were in the light, that you would cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Now, what does that mean? That means not only sin, but more importantly, it means the things that's not right in my life, they will be revealed to what God has for me. And I can receive the right things of God instead of being shortchanged. And I can come into this abundant life. Amen? All right. So for with thee is the fountain of life, and in thee, or in thy light, shall we see light. So tonight, in closing, I want to leave us with just a thought that we already know, but we need to put ourselves in remembrance. We need to stir ourselves up. The devil has tried to convince so many that he is still a prince. He's not. That he still has a place in a position of great light. His light is fading, moment by moment, but the light of Jesus through His church is getting brighter and brighter and brighter. Amen?
Amen.
So let's lay our heart on in Acts chapter 2. Peter is quoting from Psalms. This is the third quotation that Peter makes here, and because he's trying to get it in our heart as he's showing how the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, has been completed, been fulfilled, and Jesus is fully in the place of victory. Do I believe that tonight? I believe it, don't you? So, let's just start in verse 32. Acts 2:32. This Jesus hath God raised up. Now think about it. The first situation where Satan, Hebrews 2:14 says that Satan is death. The first situation where Satan lost. He'd been a winner all the time, seemingly, until he met Jesus. Aren't you glad that you've met Jesus? All right. This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. Look at Paul's testimony of that in 1 Corinthians 15, the first few verses, where he talked about 500 saw Jesus beat death. Verse 33, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted. Second witness, Jesus is on the right hand of the Father. The one that you're believing for salvation is on the right hand of the Father. The highly exalted place of the throne of God. And Ephesians 2:6 says that you and I are seated there with Him. That's light. Amen? So if I'm in the place of victory because of what Jesus done to me by the love of God, and I am and you are, then we're in the place tonight where we can recognize every foe to the enemy working plan of the devil. Amen? I've got to believe that. Now notice, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Now stay with me. Verse 34. For David, because he's quoting from the Psalms, for David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Look at verse 35. This is why we came here. Until I make thy foes thy... If Jesus is on the throne, the earth is His footstool, the enemies are under His feet. I'm in Jesus, you're in Jesus, so the enemies are under our feet. Amen? So when the friendly foe comes, and he sounds so seductive, he sounds so genuine and so true, I stop just for a moment of time and I say, Father, by the power of the Spirit of God that leads me and guides me into all truth, that gives me the ability to look into a spirit and see whether it's of God or not, in Jesus' name, show me. And all of a sudden, by the power of the Spirit of God, you have unction of whether this is genuine or whether it's fake. You have an understanding. And all of a sudden, the devil, his very plan has been thwarted. It's been stopped. It's been put under Jesus' feet. Amen. Amen. Amen? So tonight, the whole point, I believe, that the Lord is wanting just to make us, give us a little orange light ahead, is the enemy is going to work some things, and he's going to work through these troublesome times that we see all around us, to try to get us down and out, to try to get us discouraged and all of these things. But I want you and I to thank God that everything. Let's just turn there and read it. Lay your eyes on it. Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to let you go. But I want you to see this because you know the scripture. But faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. In Romans chapter 8 verse 28. It says, and we know that some things. Even COVID? Oh. Now, wait a minute. Sound like y'all know something that maybe the world don't know. And we know that all things work together for... God is good. God is good, present tense. And if He never changes, so if He was once good, He'll always be good, right? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. I love God. Do you love God? Yes, you do. Amen? So you have an assurance here. The devil's showing you something. He says, look how bad this is. And try to get you and I in the place that he got David. Remember Psalms 13 this morning? How long? How long, oh God? No, so what we do is we step back and we say, wait a minute. This is a foe, but it's trying to act friendly, trying to talk to me, trying to bring me in a different direction. In the name of Jesus, I don't know how, I don't know when, but I know that right now this situation is going to be worked for good in my life because I love God.
Amen.
You qualify then. All of a sudden, you have come in agreement with what God said, and you've spoken it out of your mouth, and you've loosed the will of God in your life. Amen? It's a creative force. It cannot be stopped. Just like on the flip side of the coin, if I agree with the devil, but we're not agreeing. Amen? Let's read it one more time. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Now, I want to address this real quickly because the devil immediately, he'll come up and say, well, now you love God, but you're not called. Because, see, he tries to get us on a technicality. Over and over, I admonish you to look at the writings of Paul as he starts every epistle. Look at the writings of Peter. You are called with a holy calling. So the devil is a liar. Don't let him get in as a friendly foe. You recognize his words. Amen? And you say, devil, you're a liar. I reject that word. I renounce it in the name of Jesus. I qualify for this. Now, what I want you and I to do tonight, I want us to be in the place where we say, Lord, I'm just going to sit down in your light. And you let the day star, let it come from one end of my life to the other. And I want everything that is in my life that is not the truth, I want it to be shaken out. I want everything that I've become friendly with to be revealed, and I want it gone in the name of Jesus. And you have an assurance that God will what? He'll work those things that the devil meant for harm. He'll work them for good. Amen? That's a fact. And we've got to believe it. We've got to let God do it. Because right now, there is good, bad word. There's a lot of people that walk maybe at a distance. Remember, Peter followed afar off. And they may be at a distance, but they're trying to walk after the Lord. But they're believing everything that the media is telling them. The media is full of demonic spirits. The media is anointed like never before with a lying spirit. You can't believe one word that they say. Don, I heard a Christian man spew forth rhetoric that was straight from the enemy, and he didn't even know it. Does not have a clue that he's accepting a friendly foe and he's coming in agreement with the enemy, and now he's in a place where he's open to all sorts of situations and struggles. We need to pray that everybody that is under this false, this lying spirit, that in the name of Jesus, the day star will shake out. And they'll see the truth and they'll reject a lie. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this group of people. I'm so blessed by each and every one of them. Me and Donna are blessed to have them as family and friends in God. And I thank you for it. I ask that you would just touch each one of us right now supernaturally. Give us an opportunity to let your light shine like never before. If there's any dark corner, if there's any locked drawer, if there's any locked door, we give you permission by the Spirit of God. We hand you the key and we ask that you just go through every drawer, every door of our life. Let the light shine. And if there's anything that needs to be shook out, if there's any way that the foe of the enemy is working there, bring revelation, bring understanding, and give us the words to say. And let us be just in alignment with you. Because as Brother Corey said this morning, quoting from the Gospel of John, we are your friends because you chose us. You pulled us out and you named us your friends. And the friend of the world is not a friend of God. You said, so we're not a friend of the world. We're only a friend of you. Bring unction, bring revelation right now. We thank you for this new start, this new level in you. Let it be, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Would you come up here and make yourself an altar or make yourself an altar at your seat, wherever you feel comfortable. But would you spend a few moments of time with the Lord and let Him just bring some unction to you. Remember, you need to say, the Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light. Whom shall I be afraid? Anything that would try to bring fear in your life or in my life right now, let's let it be shook out of our life. I'm here to pray with you if you want prayer, but otherwise, just let the Lord do a work that only He can do in your life and be ready, because we're going to have to apply this, because we're going to meet some things in the future that only by the Spirit of God can you and I know the truth.